Coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every single day. And looking forward to our next guest when we get him online, and that is Jim Ross, legendary announcer, wrestling announcer, and his new book, Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling, is an interesting read. Certainly, he's got a lot of experience and certainly called a lot of great matches, historical matches, if you're a WWE fan or a wrestling fan. Let's welcome board right now. And that is the legendary Jim Ross. Hey, Jim, Mark Melusis and Maggie Gray, thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
It's great to be with you guys. Thank you.
And, Jim, I have to say, full disclosure, I love you, but I have not read the book yet, so this is killing me. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and forgive me for not reading it yet. I don't have it. But here's a question for you. We'll start here. I mean, your job as a broadcaster is always to make it all about the wrestlers, right? And it's to prop them up and it's to do whatever you need to do to make the match as exciting as possible. But you got very deeply personal in this book, and it was a lot about you. And I'm curious, was that difficult for you to, you know, open up, to talk about things that are so personal and to make yourself in some ways vulnerable by sharing this with the public?
I think, Maggie, that we're obligated to be honest if we're going to write our autobiography. You know, it's just not about a payday and let's sell a bunch of books and move on. I wanted to leave something behind. You know, my grandchildren, because of my Bell's palsy, have never seen Grandpa smile. Mm. So, and there's a lot of things about my crazy career in the wrestling business that, you know, they're just not up to. So my family's going to be reading this book and learning things for the first time. It was challenging, but at that time when I was putting the book together, Maggie, I had my wife here. So she really was my... you know, my life coach in that deal. She helped me decide how much we wanted to reveal of the journey. I think my book should have been called Slobberknocker, My Life and Wrestling, but nonetheless, it's My Life in Wrestling. It was a whole hell of a lot more about life and getting up, setting goals, and having some fun than it is about headlocks and hammerlocks.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Jim, and I guess the... As you walk and you take your and you look back and you go through this journey of putting your thoughts down, what do you want the reader? I mean, what do you want the reader to take out of your book first and foremost?
Several things. I want them to say, "Why not me?" I want them to think big when they're young. I want them to prepare for their future and have a goal and not quit. My dad said that I wanted to quit the ninth grade football team because I was playing on the varsity. So he said, well, here's the deal, son. Quitting is the easiest thing in the world to get good at. Mm. You ain't quitting.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good line from your dad.
Honestly, Jim, we're so sorry about the loss of your wife, Jen, from earlier this year. That was something just our heart goes out to you and absolutely still does. Can you go through the story about how the two of you met?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually met on my wife at the time was a U.S. Air flight attendant. And there were four first-class seats in this little puddle jumper from, I think we were in Charleston, West Virginia, flying back to Atlanta. And I was sitting in first class, four seats, next to Ric Flair. And my wife was a very attractive woman. And Ric Flair has this history of liking very attractive women, even though, well, his wife was married. He might not have been, but his wife was married. So he started trying to connect with Jan, and for whatever reason, she and I had a chemistry, and we exchanged cards, and then it was 25 years we were together. So it was amazing. It's an amazing story in there. And she was this business, you guys know how the entertainment business is. We wake up paranoid half the time. We wake up wondering, are we still good? Are we going to be good enough? How's our ratings? I think that she helped me so much because fat guys with Oklahoma accents, with Bell's palsy, you wonder, what the hell is that guy doing on television? And she kept me believing in me. And that was really, really important when you have some personal things happen that you can see every day in the mirror.
Yeah, well, and I was being self-deprecating as you are, but obviously you're a huge talent, Jim. And people might not know Bell's palsy, it affects your facial ability to make emotions out of your face, right? The muscles in your face.
Yeah, it's... I've had it three times, and I've had it some real strange times, different things triggering it, we think. But I can't smile. And so people think, I did book signings this week in Chicago and Pittsburgh, and a lot of the fans put their shots on social media, and I'm getting this from people that don't know me. Says, "Damn, JR, are you mad? Why aren't you smiling?" Well, I said, "I wish I could, pal. I wish I could."
Jim, when you set out, you mentioned it was a great message from your father early on in life in ninth grade football. You know, quitting is something you can get easy at, or is easy thing to do. When you set your goals as a broadcaster, in the industry, you know, what were your goals in life early on?
Early on, I was the only child. Not only early on, but now I'm still an only child. But I was the only child on a 160-acre farm in eastern Oklahoma, and I had to have an imagination. I learned to read when I was five. I was by myself. I was a latchkey kid before the term was, I think, invented. So I was a prisoner to my transistor radio and a little earplug and Harry Carey and Jack Buck and KMOX Radio in St. Louis. Even though I lived in Oklahoma, it boomed in. So I became a fan of the Cardinals because I loved radio. I loved the theater of the mind, and I loved how blue the sky was on a Sunday afternoon in St. Louis because Jack Buck told me, and that really resonated with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you know, Jim, you got to call some Falcons games, right? I mean, you've done not just the sports entertainment, but you've done straight-up sports. I mean, did you ever think about just going to that permanently?
Yes, I did, but I'll tell you, when you get painted with the pro wrestling brush, some insecure decision makers who will tell you, even though your work is good enough to be on their air, they can't put you on their air because you're quote unquote the wrestling guy. So I dealt with that. I did work with the Falcons in the early 92, I think it was, and I did the XFL, the only season of the XFL was in business. And so I've had some fun I've done MMA, I've done boxing on CBS Sports, I've done a lot of things that now, today, the restrictions on being the wrestling guy have been lessened, and I'm really happy for that. Should have been a long time ago.
Yeah, it should have been a long time ago. And Jim, why do you think that is the case, or why do you think it was the case predominantly years ago that you were pigeonholed in that way?
I think that the reputation and this the image of pro wrestling and the smoky arenas and the, you know, cigar-smoking, cigar-chomping promoters and the barrel-chested wrestlers and so forth, I think it got kind of maybe unfairly stereotyped, but it's like being a bully. I tell people in my one man shows when I do the Q&As that we're all here together. This is like a church for you guys because I'm not gonna fat shame you, so to speak. I love that you're a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. You should always be proud of the things that you love, and including wrestling is not illegal. So I just think people just have that. It's not that way today as much.
No, it's
McMahon
not.
McMahon has done a phenomenal job in making WWE go mainstream, and it's being accepted by the media in that regard.
We're talking with Jim Ross. He's a WWE Hall of Famer, of course, but he's got a new book out. It's called Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. You can buy it now. It was so funny. I was just interviewing Mick Foley recently, Jim, and he's also got a book out. And I went to go look back at some of his old clips, and it's like, it's shocking to watch. I mean, just the, you know, being body slammed into a, you know, bed of thumbtacks. It's just stuff that you would never see now. I mean, as that transition was sort of happening, did you feel like that was a good place for the WWE to go? Or are you surprised now that it's sort of become family friendly, a lot more glossy than it was back in the day? And that's led to, really, I mean, if you look at the numbers, WWE's more profitable and better off in their business now than they have ever been.
Yeah, Vince and his family and the team's done a great job there. Well, you know, Mick is special. Vince didn't want me to hire Mick because Mick had tried to go to work at WWE two or three times, had tryouts and so forth, just didn't make the cut, and didn't have the look that was coveted at that time. But when I was made the vice president of talent, I mentioned to Vince I wanted to hire Foley, and he said, well, I'm going to let you hire him because you need to understand what it's like to believe in a talent, JR, and then them break your heart. And he said, I think this guy's going to break your heart because he's not as good as you think he is. So, luckily, Mick proved us all wrong. He proved I shouldn't have any apprehension because he became a star. Vince loved him, still loves him. So that was a big deal for me. And Mick became a best-selling author and a main event wrestler and a Hall of Famer. And I'm sure glad we gave him the opportunity to live his dream like I got to live mine.
You know, you discovered Mick Foley, well, you brought him over. What about the Stone Cold and the Rock, two other wrestlers that you are credited for really building their careers and finding them, besides that, you know, sort of mythological it factor, Jim, what else did they have where you knew they'd be successful?
Maggie, they had the unrelenting desire to be the best in the game, and they seemingly were not going to settle. And the main trait I always look for in any wrestler when I signed them, you know, anybody can judge somebody and they can pass or fail the eyeball test. Obviously, Rock and Austin both passed the eyeball test. But the thing about they came from a mainstream background athletically in college football. They've been in a locker room. They checked all the things off my list. But the main thing, they were reliable. I knew they'd be at work on time. They're going to give me a great effort. They're going to prepare. They're not going to cheat the paying customer. So the reliability factor, which is huge for me, they checked it very prominently. So they just had all the traits to be great. Rock told me the day I signed him, I'm going to be your top guy. He didn't say that in an egocentric way. He was very, very, very confident. And recruiting him and signing him was one of them, probably as good of an accomplishment, lucky accomplishment as I had in my career.
Jim, what made you, and I mean, you still are, I mean, as good as what you are as a broadcaster with wrestling? I mean, I grew up as a wrestling fan and, in Rockland County and upstate, you know, a little bit upstate New York and, you know, watching, Gorilla Monsoon and the like and a legendary broadcaster. And, you know, I love when you call a match. I love when, and I missed you when you weren't there, and then when you came back, it's fantastic that you're back in the fold. You know, what do you think set you apart, Jim, as a wrestling broadcaster?
Oh, golly. I think I didn't go to broadcasting school. I didn't work my way through too much radio and things, which I thought I would do. I kind of took a crazy route to get here. And the wrestling business is so closed at that time. It's like a nonviolent mafia. You had to know somebody. You had to be an athlete. You had to have a connection. They didn't want anybody in their closed business because they were trying to keep the secret that it was showbiz, which is kind of funny. But nonetheless, I was lucky to even get in. So, I've always had this damn, it's almost like I'm too caffeinated or something. I don't know. I love what I do. I love what I do, and I'm damn sure not ashamed to say I'm a fan of the genre that pays me. And I've really been blessed with this stuff. And I'll tell you again, both Harry Carey and Jack Buck have that influence. Tell your story, JR. Let people know who's wrestling and why and give them something. I think I sound a little different. But I think the main thing is just the passion for the genre.
Now, going into it, everything's, there's a predetermined outcome, Jim. Did you know the outcomes going into matches?
Well, I knew generally. I can tell you that the biggest question I get, or the most frequently asked, is, were you aware that The Undertaker is going to throw Mick Foley off the Hell in a Cell in 1998, believe it or not?
Yeah.
They asked that question. And no, absolutely not. I always felt that, hey, I knew what our product was. I knew it was a showbiz presentation. I get it. But my mantra was, from my bosses early on, was broadcast it, JR, like it is real. And let people suspend their disbelief. That's your skill set. That's what you need to learn to do. So that's what I really have worked hard on doing. But, you know, guys like Monsoon, who was a great mentor to me when I went to WWE in 93, he was like my giant uncle. Because a lot of guys at WWE, I was not their favorite guy because I came from the enemy. I came from WCW as their lead broadcaster when Vince hired me. And Monsoon was my guy that kind of took me under his wing and let me be accepted by the group. So I love him.
We're talking with Jim Ross. His new book is called Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. You can buy it now. Of course, he's got the Ross Report podcast as well. We only have about a minute left, or a little bit after, Jim, but I just saw the Ric Flair documentary. I was able to go to a screening of it earlier this week, and I think your quote just pulls the whole movie together, quite frankly, when you said, I'm not sure, something along the lines of, I'm not sure how much attention Rick got as a kid, and I think that's, and as soon as you said it, it was like the whole movie just like all of a sudden made just so much more sense on another level. What do you think of the documentary if you've seen it, and what do you want people to know about your relationship with Flair?
Well, it's awesome. You know, Rick was my guy, was with me when I met my wife, and, I've called a lot of his biggest matches for many, many decades, and he's the best that ever wrestled. He's the best performer, hero, villain, tenure, brawler, wrestler, promo guy, just the best I ever saw, and this documentary is going to be very captivating. You certainly do not have to be a wrestling fan to enjoy Roy Karp's 30 for 30. He's on my podcast this week. His interview about the 2 years it took to make this documentary is phenomenal. So I'd encourage folks to listen to my podcast. It's free, by the way, so that's the price is right anyway. It's a phenomenal production, no doubt.
Jim, growing up on that, growing up in that 160-acre farm, do you ever think about working in Oklahoma growing up as a kid, or you always had higher, bigger things in your mind?
I was dreaming. My grandmother told me, I'd tell her little things I wanted to do. I'm like any kid. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a cowboy. I want to be whatever. And she said, well, somebody's going to do it. She told me that day after day. Well, somebody's going to do it. So basically, go for it, as my granny was telling me. And she wasn't Dr. Phil or, you know, some motivational speaker. She was a granny. She had logic. Go for it. And don't have any regrets. So I've done that, and I didn't really have a great plan. You don't plan to get in the wrestling business, let me tell you.
Jim
Instead
Ross.
Of why you. Why not you?
Yeah, that's
I love
exactly
that.
Right.
It's great.
Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. Hey, Jim, we appreciate a couple minutes this morning, and best of luck with the book and continued success.
Thanks, guys, very much. It's an honor to be on with you, and Boomer Sooner.